members. Welcome to June's audio lesson. I'm so happy you're here. I hope your month is off to a good start. And if you're just joining the membership, welcome, welcome, welcome. This month, we're going to take a dive into, once again, working with the themes of encouragement, empowerment, and self-support. And I don't think it's a secret at this point in time that this membership is steeped in these elements. And that's because I want you to develop this arsenal of tools where the elements of support and encouragement are primary, and the other elements that come into play in our teaching, such as self-doubt and critique and even negativity, are secondary. Believe me, I wish I had a tool that I could wipe out all of the negativity from your teaching experience and just let it be easeful and beautiful and unicorn and rainbow laden. But the reality is that life is going to involve both elements all the time. And I think it would even be a little boring if we didn't have any challenges to work through on our pathway. But the key is to not let these elements of doubt, uncertainty, negativity, and critique get in our way or be in the driver's seat. Because these elements are all aspects of our ego mind, that part of our brain that we talk about a lot in this membership that tells us that we should have some level of control over the situation, or that we're not good enough, or if we were only like him or her, we would be able to achieve what we're after. And that part keeps us spinning in these small stories, just spinning around and around, and it doesn't allow us to effectively create any level of strategy or tool that will help us move forward with our process. So if you feel like you're in a place of spinning stories right now, and certainly we've all been there, I want you to just take a deep breath and understand that you have the ability to rewrite, reframe, and course correct at any point in time. If you're struggling, if you're in a comparison mode, if you're in the mode where you're uncertain about what's happening in your client relationships or your teaching in general, you have the ability to get back online. One of the most important lessons I learned from my mentor and teacher, Gabrielle Bernstein, is that it's not about the setbacks, but it's about the comebacks. We're looking for a high rate of performance in the category of coming back online, of getting out of the spiral, getting out of the spin of the storytelling, coming back online. And so in this month's content, you have your teaching mantra, which is the work that I teach matters. And as I was writing this mantra for the month, I thought, I wonder how many of our members are going to truly believe this right off the bat. Because so often in the world of teaching movement, we can feel like our work will matter when we get the right skill set, the right number of clients, when we achieve a certain accolade, when we have been teaching for a certain amount of years. And until then, we're working towards this state of having our work matter. And what I'm here to tell you is that every step of the way matters. Every little element that you bring into every single lesson is worthwhile and worthy, because it's all leading you to the next step. And as we learned in our affirmation from a few months ago, we teach from a place of our own experience that's infused with the lessons we learn along the way. It's impossible to get it all down. It's impossible to know it all. In fact, no one really does. I remember a beautiful story from Master Teacher Ron Fletcher. I was had the pleasure of being his student for many years, and he used to tell us that before he got on stage or in front of a large group at a workshop, he would recite the prayer, as it were, "Dear God, please don't let today be the day that they find out I don't know nothing." And it's just such a good, good one, because even a person who's at a level of mastery where they're teaching hundreds of people is in a space of uncertainty. But acknowledging that space of uncertainty and remembering that there's worth behind the work that you teach can be a direct tool and strategy to use against anything that comes up in the ego mind of critique and negativity. So the first trick is simply believing it. And oftentimes the repetition of these words is going to help us infuse a belief into our brain. It's going to help us hear it and speak it and have a physical and mental experience with these words so that they become expected. They become part of our condition. So I want to suggest that you repeat this mantra at least for 1 minute a day. Post it on your bathroom mirror. Put it as an alarm on your phone. Hang it up somewhere in your studio. The work that I teach matters. Even if you don't believe it, I can't tell you how many times I've engaged in a practice of mantra-based meditation, which is essentially repeating words over and over again to get out of the busyness of the monkey mind and into a place of focus. But I can't tell you the amount of times that I've repeated mantras that I was vehemently opposed to. Just didn't believe it all, but I committed to the practice. And so one of the first steps is creating some level of belief after a bit of time, which is why we have one mantra a month, so you can practice it the whole month long. After a bit of time, you will find that the words seem a little more reasonable, and you'll start to adopt at least maybe a slight belief that the work that you teach matters, if not a full-fledged ownership of those words. So begin your practice ASAP, repeat it on the daily, make it a commitment for yourself so that you can begin to support yourself through some of the times where you might feel a little bit more uncertain. And I want to give you a real-time kind of teaching example of how this usage of the mantra and a reframe or a shifting of perspective might help you with a common situation of client interaction, which is tardiness or lateness. Now, upon creating the content for this month, I started to do some research as to why people behave in certain ways. And one of the things that I came up on was an article in Psychology Today by a lecturer named Alfie Cohn, who discussed the reasons why people are late. And he made some level of suggestion that for some people, there might be a bit of diagnosis there that might be really juicy for a psychologist to unpack and make reason around. But for most people, it's very, very difficult to determine the exact reason why someone is late. In fact, he pointed to a few different motivational factors that may come into play. One of them is attention seeking. So if your client comes in late for class and has to have a moment to explain all of the things that got in the way so that they have some attention put on them, that might be a motivation for consistently being late. Another is the client feeling maybe a bit apologetic or guilty about something else in their life. So being late actually gives them an opportunity to say they're sorry, even if it's not for the thing they feel guilty about. That one seems a little bit like a stretch for me, but just as a couple of examples. My point is that with all the examples in the world, most likely lateness or behavior from a client has absolutely nothing to do with you. Why is this important, you say? Well, because let's say that your client is late for your session or class. Some common default thought patterns might look or sound like, what have I done wrong? What have I done to influence this client coming in late? Or maybe what's wrong with them? Or why are they doing this to me? Don't they respect me? Maybe if I were a better teacher, a different person, or more fill in the blank here, they wouldn't be late. And this line of commentary, this internal dialogue, tends to suggest that a client's behavior is happening at us, thus inciting us to seek out some control, some mechanism by which we can actually control the client's behavior. I don't know if you've ever worked with anyone who has a chronic lateness problem, but let's just say that there is little to no control to be had with anyone who is late. They must make the decision for themselves. They have to manage the rest of their lives. And typically the behavior has nothing to do with you whatsoever. However, if you drop into this questioning of what can I do to change them, or why are they always late, or maybe if I were different, they would respect me enough to show up on time, that in turn hijacks your own worthiness. And that line of thinking can lead you down a rabbit hole of believing that there's something that you could do or change that would in turn affect your client's behavior. It is dangerous, it is not true, and it robs your ability to actually deal with the issue at hand. So this is where the affirmation comes in. This is where the mantra comes in. For those of you who tend to run into these situations where your client's behavior is late or insubordinate, and you're trying to manage your way around working with this relationship, the first thing that I want you to do when you hear yourself starting to spiral into these stories of why are they always late? It must have something to do with me, or anything that sounds like that sort of dialogue, I want you to turn to your affirmation and just drop in and affirm for yourself, the work that I teach matters. You don't have to have a reason for it. You don't have to qualify it. All you have to do is repeat it. The work that I teach matters. The work that I teach matters. Because as you believe that, as you hear those words more, you're going to start to open up the perspective, open up the field for choices. And then you can actually make choices for yourself that will benefit both of you instead of react to their behavior, which, as we've seen, has little to nothing to do with you. So when you clean up your own side of the street in this example, it might look like, let's review my own behaviors and check in to see where I can be more clear in my expectations. Maybe I need to send out a reminder email to all clients just to make sure they're all up to speed. Maybe I need to post it someplace. Maybe I need to share my expectations differently verbally. Maybe I need to inquire with myself as to what I'm doing in my own actions within the studio to encourage people being on time for their sessions. Sometimes in the past, it's looked like me recognizing that I was a little scatterbrained at the beginning of the sessions, making transition from one client to the next. And so I had to really check in to how I was prepping my energy for the class or the session and when I was actually walking into the room. Because if I was consistently in the studio at the start of the hour, but not in the class, prepared to start the class at the start of the hour, that might leave some level of expectation that class didn't actually start until 5 minutes after the hour. That's just a small example. But so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to clean up my own side of the street. I'm going to check out, what am I doing here? What am I doing for myself? How am I supporting my expectations to teach the work that matters? The second thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to check in with my clients' motivations and see if my behaviors are taking into account their motivations. That means if they're coming kind of against their will or as part of their routine, it might be time for me to check in and say, let's set a goal or some level of focus that will help us both understand what's going to happen in that hour and maybe even inspire us to both show up right on time for it. Okay. So clean up your own side of the street, check in with your client's motivation, see if your expectations and their motivations are matching up, or even if they have them. And this is all done for me behind the scenes, quite honestly. I'm just trying to reason my way around what information I've picked up as a professional. And if nothing's changing, if nothing really needs to be changed with my expectation, if nothing needs to be changed in addressing their motivations, then I might turn to the conference with the client and say, you know, I've noticed that you seem to be running a little behind lately. I'm wondering if there's anything that I can do to support you in making it here so you get the full experience of your class or your session. Or maybe even, I've noticed that it's been a little challenging for you to get here right at the hour. Is there another hour that might work better for you during the week? And I'm not trying to manage their thought process, but I am trying to draw attention to it in a way that doesn't feel like I'm placing blame or accusing them of anything. I'm just speaking clearly. I don't accuse, I inform. I have noticed that it's challenging for you to get here on the hour. What can we do to help that out? And that in turn gives them some options to at least understand that their lateness is affecting another person or the class as a whole, and or make some changes. Now, this perspective also offers you the opportunity to not do anything at all. You can just accept that this person is going to be late every single week and continue to manage your own experience surrounding their lateness. You can also recognize that this person might not be an ideal client for you and perhaps make steps towards suggesting a different teacher or class or what have you. That's a whole other audio lesson for a different time. But in the meantime, just acknowledging the worthiness of your work, checking in to see how you can support that worthiness through the dialogue that you're telling to yourself and also through the ways that you're managing your own expectations, seeing if they match up with your clients, and then finally having the conversation that allows them to suggest some kind of actionable item that they can do, whether it's changing the time in their schedule or making an effort to come on time or earlier is a lot more productive than feeling like there's something that you can do behind the scenes to ultimately change the way that they're behaving. I can say with certainty that anytime I've gone through this level of processing, I've always come out on the other side with a very positive client interaction. And in the few times where these engagements have resulted in the end of a relationship, it's always been for the better. It's always been for the better. I can remember one time speaking with a client and saying, "Why is it that you come to Pilates?" And she said, "Well, I really like the stretching, but I know I need the core work." And I said, "It's so interesting because every time we go into an exercise that either involves your core musculature and or elongating your muscles, there seems to be a bit of a reaction or a response, like you're not excited about it, or you don't want to hold positions that long, or you want to get out of it as soon as possible. Does that feel or sound accurate to you?" And the client said, "Actually, yes." And I said, "Well, what is it you really like to do versus what you think you need to do? What is it you really like to do?" And she says, "Well, I really like spinning and I really like step aerobics. I like to get a good sweat. It's the slowness that I just don't like. It actually makes me angry." I said, "Then let's focus on getting you into a place where you can go and do more of that. Because if you're coming to the studio or to the session with some level of dread or just not excited about what we're going to do that day, it's actually not going to land very well in your brain or your body. And essentially, I'd rather see you doing something that really makes you happy and that really connects you to something inside of you that says, yeah, this is the right thing for me, this is the way I want to feel, than trying to make a square peg fit into a round hole." I lost the client, but you know what? God, I gained some energy back, a lot of it. And I think she's pretty happy with her step aerobics, and it's just fine. No one has ever died from not doing Pilates, quite honestly. So some clients will go and it's okay. The point is that the energy that I got back from letting that client go affected all of my other clients exponentially and made me happy. I'm happy just even thinking about the fact that I let that client go. It was a great, great thing to do because the work that I teach matters. It did not necessarily matter as much as I wanted it to this particular client, but that's okay because in gaining the perspective, remembering that it mattered, I was able to let her go and give that work that matters to the people who are ready to receive it. So whether you're a Pilates teacher or a yoga teacher, or you teach both of those things or none of those things and something totally different, if you're working under the umbrella that is teaching a technical practice of movement to other human beings, you're more than likely going to run into some level of challenge, whether it be with those people who you're teaching or with your own internal dialogue at some point on the pathway. And this month's affirmation is the tool to remind you that the work that you do does, in fact, matter. You never know how helping someone move their spine differently or take in a deeper breath will impact the world around them, including their community, their family, and the people they work with. So reminding ourselves of the fact that we are creating this ripple effect with the work that we do. And that ripple deserves to be supported from a place of empowerment and confidence is one of the best tools we have to work against the inner critic. If we're letting that critical dialogue hold us back, then we're in effect holding ourselves back from offering out that impact, that ripple effect to our clients. And I believe that they deserve it. The challenge is going to be always working through those moments of conflict where your inner voice is triggered, or your purpose or your role as a teacher is triggered. And the more clear you can become surrounding those things by taking the time to clean up your side of the street first and check in with the side of the street, the easier it's going to be to navigate through those elements. I want to reference a text that I'm deep into for the second time with my favorite person for insight and inspiration, Brené Brown, from her book, Dare to Lead. She has a almost manifesto of sorts of the different ways of leading from a place of armored protection and leading from a place of daring greatly. And the one that stands out to me most under this subject is that leading from a place of armoring is tolerating discrimination, echo chambers, and fitting in culture. So many of us can teach from a place that doesn't allow for mistakes. It doesn't allow for processing. It only allows for what's perfect, what's right, what's in the book, what is expected of us in the moment. And the daring way to lead is a way of cultivating a culture of belonging, inclusivity, and diverse perspectives. When we affirm for ourselves that the work that we teach matters, we're also affirming that the experience we bring to the table in our own lives goes to support that work. And I believe that when we open that space for that affirmation to say that everything that we've done up until this point in time goes into the pot, lends itself towards our overall ability to teach, then we also open up the space for our clients and our classes to come into the room with their own experiences, understanding that they'll also inform the way that they move their body within the sessions that we teach. We've got to continue to open up spaces for expanding perspectives. That is the way that we grow. And we've got to continue to be creative with the ways in which we manage and sometimes battle our own internal dialogue. We've got to remind ourselves that there is no perfect path, that the work that we teach matters even in its utmost imperfection, because that's where most of the learning will happen. So this month, your assignment is to not only repeat this affirmation for yourself daily, at least for a minute. Again, write it down, put an alarm on your phone, whatever is going to get you into that regular practice, just as a motivator to get you into that mindset that will help you share your great work with your students, with your classes. But also, I'd like you to start taking some inventory of the challenges that are being supported through this affirmation practice. So if it's an interpersonal challenge with your client, if you need to have a tough conversation about them being late or not showing up, or I don't know, maybe having a more positive mindset in your classes, remember to just jot down a couple of the ways that you were positively influenced by using this mantra as a tool, by remembering, okay, I fully stand behind the work that I teach. I also understand this person is coming to the table with an experience, and I'm going to do the best to check in with my side of the street and also check in with where they're coming from and see if I can meet them in the middle, and then jot down what happened. Sometimes the journaling seems tedious, but I promise you that when you go back to some of these writings, they're going to provide you with so much content from which to create either new lessons, new classes, new stories that help you animate the experience that is being a Pilates teacher to other teachers who you may be colleagues with, or who you may teach in a continuing education forum, should that be the goal. Those stories are what bring your experience to life. And so now's the time to record while you're in the mud, while you're in the muck of it, while you're failing miserably at some time, and while you're succeeding stupendously at others. I want you to truly take an account of your experiences so you can use them to continually build yourself up, to see, wow, I really went through it with this person. And as a result of that, I learned something, or I got stronger, or I developed a tool, or they got stronger, or we made more of an impact. And in the process of engaging with this process, we remember that the work that I teach and the movement that they experience and the relationship together and all of it matters. So I hope this serves you well this month. Be sure to make your commitment to how you're going to repeat your mantra and start recording some of your experiences down. Check out the nourishing movement practice this month. We're grounding with a special prop. Nothing fancy. It's just a stick, but it's going to do some fancy things to your movement that will maybe help it matter even more. And in the meantime, remember, you're doing a great job. I believe in you, and I will be back next month with more inspiration.